Senator Dockstetter?
Here.
Senator Hastert?
Here.
Senator Meyer?
Here.
Senator Perkins?
Here.
Representative Burkhart?
Here.
Representative Escobel?
Here.
Representative Moniz?
Here.
Representative Nicholas?
Here.
Representative Stebson?
Here.
Representative Wallace?
Here.
Co-Chairman Harshman?
Here.
Chairman Bevout?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have quorum. I'm not on. Everybody good with that? Okay, so what we'll do is we'll walk through the bill. We'll talk specifically in depth about the Section 300 series. And then we're all said and done. We'll vote on the bill as a Joint Appropriations Committee bill, joint bill. Correct? Okay, committee, any other questions? Okay, Don.
Mr. Chairman, I did want to bring to your attention, I left a packet, actually two packets on top. The first has a summary. It was originally the unofficial summary. This is not the cheat sheet, but it hits the major highlights of the budget. From the 30,000-foot level, the Joint Appropriations Committee spent about $8.8 million more than the governor's recommendations. And, again, from the highest level, the reason for that is fires. You paid for that out of general funds, $31.2 million. And in order to get the funds to pay for the fires, the Joint Appropriations Committee cut data centers by $5 million, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund by $5 million, about $10 million in compensation, primarily because you were able to access 2010 unexpended funds. $4 million in other, and $7 million or $8 million lower general fund at the end. So that adds up to about $31.2 million. All of the details of these major cuts are included in the first two pages of that summary. Next, we also provided a summary of the governor's recommendations as they compare to the Joint Appropriations Committee. I'm speaking on the second sheet in that packet. And you can see that the JAC cut $907,534 more than the governor did. And looking at it a variety of different ways, the cuts that JAC made, my subjective opinion is they're more likely to double than the cuts that you restored. Next, you can also see the big changes in the supplemental budget, where the legislature or JAC spent $8.485 million more than the governor. And you can see that in two different ways. You see a big number there, $76 million additional additions to the governor's rec and $67 million cuts to the governor's supplemental requests. And you might ask yourself, well, why is that so high? Well, really, it's two big things. It's the swap on the Gillette Madison in exchange for the UW College of Engineering and AA, and it's the fires. So you add up those two, it's $60 million out of that $76. The other $15 is primarily the mega data centers and Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund, and then you get down to pretty small items like $1 million with preschools. The most important thing, in my opinion, on that this sheet is the $13.5 million bottom line. So if you'll recall, the legislature came into session and had about $21 million on the bottom line. You've spent about 7.5 of that, 8.5 of that, and are left with $13.5 million.
But Don, in reality, we've really saved $35 million on the table by doing the fires out of the general fund rather than LSRA.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. That's correct. The next page is a cheat sheet for the profile. It's essentially a one-page condensed summary of the profile, and the attempt there is to line up the governor's rec against the JAC rec. And let me just walk you through that. The $90 million, that's available revenue. That's actually cash from the Craig report, cash that you left over, $4.6 million. And then the next line, $60 million on the governor's column, $61 million on the JAC column. That's cuts. That's budget reductions. So if you add the 60 plus the 90, and I'm rounding here, that's where you start with $150 million. And the JAC spent $138 million of that $150 million. The governor only spent $130 million of that $150 million. And that's essentially, again, the difference. He had $20 million left on the table. You have $13 million left on the table. And that projected balance of the general fund BRA are noted in bold there, along with the projected balance of the LSRA. You'll recall his projected balance of the LSRA is high because he diverts the 1% severance tax for the next 2 years. That's why he's higher than you on that one. Then the education accounts, I tried to do a similar thing. Started with the education revenues available. His number is quite a bit lower than your number, and the reason for that is the diversion of the coal lease bonus. You can also see his spending in education is a little bit lower than your spending. That's primarily accounted for in the $8.1 million for K-12 compensation. And then at the bottom, I briefly mentioned the other revenue recommendations that the governor had relative to capital gains, redirection of the GE AML funds, and the like. The next five pages are the actual profile. I call this the white rod because it's not an official golden rod. Tomorrow we will put out a golden rod for the body. And if you're looking at the front page of the profile, the bottom line I always look at is line number that has a footnote number six, because that tells you how much money you have on hand. $21.1 million on the governor's side, $13.5 million on the JAC side. That's probably the most important number, and it changes on a daily basis. Page two, I would just bring your attention. It's been about a week since we've put out our last profile, and you can see the sundry list of other bills with appropriations in them, several Senate files, several House bills. They don't add up to a whole lot, $435,000, but that gets spent as well out of the general fund. I won't mention anything until page four at the bottom on the PLF holding account. I wanted to bring your attention to that for two reasons. In the governor's column, he leaves with $187 million. That's a relatively low number because of his redirection of the coal lease bonus funding. And on the JAC column, you have capped that in Section 300, Paragraph B, at $450 million. And that's a big difference between the two.
Okay, Don, on that now, this all, again, is coal lease bonus money.
Mr. Chairman, it's primarily coal lease bonus, but the way this works, and later on I have a diagram for this, any excess from the school foundation program also flows down, essentially just flows right down the page, and there's assessed valuation and federal mineral royalties in addition to investment income in the school foundation program.
When you look at that sheet on page, well, the one we're looking at, page four, I guess, where do the coal lease bonus money show up first? Do they start in the school foundation and work their way down? Or do they start in the CapCon account and work their way down?
They start in the CapCon account under the line 2013-14 estimated revenues. So we have $474 million. The vast, vast majority of that is coal lease bonus.
Now, the question I have is, if the school foundation program goes underwater for whatever reason, does that offset and come back up into the school foundation program? It does it not?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. So right now we have a small surplus in the SFP account, school foundation program account, but should severance taxes plummet, or federal mineral royalties actually plummet, the school CapCon account would be a backstop for the SFP as currently written.
Last question on that then. the $450 million cap, if in fact we had a real shortage in the school foundation program, this backfill that we just talked about wasn't enough, we had to dip into the 450. Is that, do we appropriate out of that account to do that, or does that automatically flow?
Mr. Chairman, it automatically flows, and it actually doesn't flow back up. It just doesn't get swept down. The next page I'd like to talk about is the stovepipe.
Any questions, committee, on any of this? Okay.
Is the stovepipe graphic? It's immediately after the white rod or profile. And this is the visual explanation of the creation of the SIPA account. This was the creation of an $80.8 million account of funds, earnings in excess of the spending policy amount, or excuse me, in excess of the Craig estimate and less than the spending policy account amount. And so you see the Craig estimate at the bottom of $134 million. If there are unprofiled capital gains, they would fill up the $80.8 million SIPA account. That would be available for the governor to make discretionary budget recommendations for the 15-16 biennium. Then we have about $18.6 million of excess. That would first go to the general fund, and if the legislature chooses to do nothing with it, it will eventually be swept into the LSRA. The next $30 million will go to the PMTF reserve account until it reaches its maximum of $175 million set in statute, or 75% of the spending policy amount. And then anything over that, if we have an extraordinary year, as currently written, it will be swept into the PMTF at the end of each fiscal year. The next two pages essentially account for the discussion that I had with Chairman Bebout 2 minutes ago. It shows those flows into the stovepipe of the school foundation program going down into the school capital construction account. You can see the arrows go both ways. So if one needs money and has excess, it goes down. If the other needs money and has and there's an excess, it would flow up. And then the sweep is noted into the permanent land fund holding account. And then finally, the dotted line illustrates the cap of $450 million. And right now we're projecting $54 million would be swept into the permanent land fund.
Don, that number's dropped down. Why did it drop down? I think it was around 65 a while ago.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, it was because of the $8.1 million for salaries. And it will go down further by about $3.5 million should the retirement bill pass Committee of the Whole. So we don't profile things until they pass Committee of the Whole. That bill has not. If it does, then the sweep becomes right at $50 million. The next spreadsheet, again, just for your information, is the $20 million with the enhanced base value for cities, towns, and counties. We show what they got for the last couple of years. We show what each community, county, and city would have received under current law without any addition, how much you added, the $20 million for the August distribution, and then the total amount that they will receive in FY14 and a comparison to what they received in FY13. That's a pretty standard request. We are working on a comparison of the distribution of increased fuel tax revenue, and we'll have that on a side-by-side with this page. We're just not quite done with it yet. I know a couple of members have requested that.
Now, Don, this has, with the footnotes we've passed in the markup and everything, is profiled here, correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay.
Well, that completes the first packet of summary information. I direct your attention to
Mr. Chairman. Can I interrupt real quick? Mr. Chairman, Don, I was missing something because looking at the bottom, you've got the column on that showing the JAC 20 million, and I go to the bottom and the total shows 12.9 million, and I'm not sure what I'm missing.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Stubson, that is the total for the cities, and if you'll flip one more page, it'll show the total for the counties, and I'm hoping that the two add up. Mr. Chairman, I was moving to the next item, which is the consolidated version of the cheat sheet. Usually this is a legal-sized piece of paper, but we've cut out a number of columns. First of all, that first handout that I walked you through is available on your iPads, so is the cheat sheet. And we can modify, and we will modify, to include additional detail for the first two agencies of every member, so that the discussion of budget reductions and IT transfers can be given to the floor in greater detail.
And also we have committee, we also have, Don presented to us all the supplemental budget requests, and we have that of what we passed and what we did not, correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And that other sheet that you have in your package also shows the budget reductions, but again, it's not at the granular level. It is at the agency level. So on your cheat sheet, you can look through the footnotes, and we've structured these in a pretty consistent manner, where footnote number one refers to the budget reductions for that agency, and this is a net number. So in the governor's budget, there was $636,000 cut, but you don't see the individual cuts until you look up above, and some of those cuts are embedded with other things. So you can see a reduction of $75,000 in clean coal technology, a reduction in endangered species administration. But that it, if you add all those up, it doesn't add up to $636,000. And the reason for that is some of them are embedded in additions. So if you go up to the administration line, that includes a recommendation of $5 million of new money for the mega data center, offset by approximately $150 million in budget reductions and ETS transfers. So these numbers in the table are net numbers. A footnote number two, pretty consistently throughout this whole packet, discusses the total amount of general funds and other funds that were moved either internally or externally as a result of the IT consolidation statewide. Number three often or usually talks about supplemental budget requests. In this case, it shows that JAC denied the governor's rec of the $5 million to recruit mega data centers, and then it also talks about JAC's reduction of by half of the streamlining state government initiative from a $250,000 request to $125,000 recommendation by JAC. And then last in every agency is a footnote or a discussion of any footnotes that we've added to the budget, and in this case, there was footnote number five added at the request of the state auditor's office to deposit general funds directly into the FINERPA account. That's really just a technical footnote for accounting purposes. But that's generally the structure of every agency. At the conclusion of today, the budget that you have before you, which I'll walk through very quickly, is not the final budget. You'll have to vote on that, and the pagination in line lines will change modestly. When we give those to you, we will tab your agencies. So if you've been assigned the University of Wyoming or Agriculture, we will tab the agencies that are yours in your copy of the bill tomorrow.
Don, I got a question. You know, when we did the budgets, all the budgets had a Section 7, which showed the cuts. And how much trouble is it to show that? Is that a big... to show that on here somewhere and pull that out, is that a lot of extra work? That, I mean, we, the committee, should be able to say that and have that anyway. How much more work is it to show that on this sheet?
Within the footnotes, we can break out the budget reductions, but it'll be a fair bit of it. It's not something that's loaded in the system that we'll have to retype that stuff in. But we can do some effort there to explain those budget reductions.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think we're going to have our budget books with us when we explain it. I think we can look and say what it is. I don't think we want to do that extra work. But we'll have it all in our budget books, and we can just refer to it there. Okay?
Well, Mr. Chairman, now I'm referring to the bill itself, LSO 617C1, and the first thing I will start off with is Representative Burkhart, Senator Hastert. We'll have a lot of agencies that don't show up on the bill, that were here, that sat in front of you and testified, but they don't show up in the bill. And the reason for that is their movement of funds was always internal, and the legislature appropriates at the division level. So if you moved money, general fund money or other fund money, from the 400 series to the 300 series, JAC acts on that within the budget request, but it never shows up at the bill because we don't appropriate at the unit or even at the series level. So all of those agencies, I believe it was Friday morning 2 weeks ago, came in. I think there were 13 or 14 of them. None of them show up in this bill with the exception of the animal euthanasia. That was all internal documentation, which will significantly relieve those members with explanations on the floor, but all of the explanations are included in the status report.
Oh, but wait a minute. We have something else for them, right? Senator Hastert, be careful what you wish for.
So jumping into Section 1, this is a definition of each of the funds that we use. There were no changes from the 2012 adoption. Section 2 starts on page 5, and you can see every agency that has an operating budget that was changed is listed there. I'll jump to Office of the Governor, Agency 1. I won't discuss the changes to the budgets itself, but I would bring your attention to footnote number 4 and 5. Footnote number 4 is the streamlined government initiative for $125,000 to one half of the governor's request. And footnote number 5 is the request by the SAO or State Auditor's Office on the FNRPA account. Section 2, Secretary of State, they had no changes other than budget reductions. They also lost an FTE, if you'll recall. Section 3 had budget reductions and no reduction of FTE or footnotes. Section 4, again, no supplemental requests or additional footnotes. There was a reduction of one FTE and a reduction of their appropriation. Section 5, Department of Education, had a reduction of FTE, including the three ETS contested positions, as well as a reduction of their budget. They also had an additional footnote, footnote number 5, on page 13. That is the direction on the GEMS, so oversight by the Budget Office and the Governor of their general expenditure modifications that relate to the 100 series. Agency 6, I will comment here a little bit more broadly because you will note on page 14, line 21, again, page 14, line 21, the CIO's office was moved as a result of legislation adopted in 2012. So that entire line gets stricken. That line and amount will appear in Agency 77 now. And you can also see a fairly dramatic reduction in their full-time employees on line 27. About 122 of those positions have to do with just the move of the CIO's office. This agency also has an additional footnote, which is noted on page 18. This relates to Senator Meyer's motion relative to the service delivery on Central Mail. You'll recall that they lost a position with the budget reductions in that area. Agency 7 is the military department. We added two footnotes there, as well as a number of budget reductions and budget increases. So if you look on page 19, line 4, that is the additional federal employees for firefighting. And you can see rather than a reduction in staff, they have a net increase in staff. They lost some ETS staff but gained firefighting staff. The footnotes on page 20, footnote number 3, is an attempt to recoup cost from the federal government for
just
fires.
Just a second there. I thought we had 5 and I only had 4.
Yeah. Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is a net number, so I believe They lost ETS personnel, and they gained firefighting personnel. So they lost 3 ETS, gained 5 firefighters, and have a net gain of 2.
What page are we on? 19.
Mr. Chairman, page 19, line 15.
Okay, yeah, I got it.
Got it.
Page 20 are the 2 additional footnotes for the military department. Again, the first is to recoup costs to the extent permissible by federal law for fires initiated by training staff. And number 4 is to direct those additional 5 firefighters to be available to the extent not prohibited by federal law for firefighting outside of Camp Guernsey. Agency 8 is the Office of the Public Defender. They had budget reduction. They also had a budget increase to offset a portion of that, and they also had a net reduction of employees due to ETS movements and budget reductions. Section 9, the Wyoming Pipeline Authority, was a straight reduction of their 8%, no footnotes, and their not appropriated FTE. Department of Agriculture, almost all of those are net reductions to various areas, but the JAC did add back, I believe, $2,000 for travel budgets on the grain warehouse, as well as $20,000 for a pesticide program. They had a net reduction in employees as well. No footnotes. On page 23, I'm at the Agency 11, Department of Revenue. Again, they had a net reduction of 11 staffers, primarily through ETS transfers or IT transfers. Mr. Chairman, on the bottom of page 23 and the top of page 24 is the Miners Hospital, Agency 14. They received an increase. You'll recall that they had a projected increase in the amount of special revenue that comes from the Miners Hospital Permanent Land Income Fund. And they also had no general funds, so they didn't participate in any of the budget reductions. Those are limited to only agencies with general funds. Agency 15 is the Attorney General, and you can see a number of budget reductions as well as ETS transfers, which resulted in lower appropriations and lower FTE. There were no footnotes on the AG. Section 20, or Agency 20, is the Department of Environmental Quality. Budget reductions throughout, ETS transfers, as well as a reduction of 2 land quality personnel. Their funding comes on line 10, and you can also see a portion of the reduction on line 24 is related to those 2 land quality personnel. On page 27, there are 2 footnotes. Footnote number 1 was deleted by the governor, so the new footnote is also number 1, and this relates to the review of the leaking underground storage tank program. And footnote number 2 increases the appropriation for landfills from $15 to $30 million and specifies that it shall be available only upon further appropriation by the legislature.
Kurt?
We took 2 positions out of DEQ, is that right?
Yep.
And I'm just wondering how structurally does this, if the governor wants to add those back in, does he just strike 263 and put 265 because it wasn't in a footnote? Or did we make this veto-proof, or what did we do?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, he can't add anything back. He can only strike things out. So if he doesn't agree with that, he has to line out all of the FTE. So there's really, I don't see any way for him to reinstate those 2 employees.
Yahoo, good job, Don.
On the bottom of page 27 is the Department of Audit. And you can see reductions in both funding and FTE relative to budget reductions and ETS transfers. No footnotes with that agency. Section 24 is the State Parks and Cultural Resources. They had both budget reductions as well as supplemental budget requests that the JAC responded to in an affirmative manner. They had lost FTE and funding, but you can see where the additions were in footnote number 3 at the bottom of page 29, $20,000 for the statewide conference for National Leadership Institute of Art Agencies, and footnote number 4 on the top of page 30, which specifies an additional $250,000 be deposited in the Cultural Trust Fund. Section 27, the only thing we did in this bill is the operations portion of the School Facilities Department. So there is a net addition of about $575,000. I might be off there. Is it 525? $525,000. All of the engineering, technical activities, and capital construction appears in Senate File 105, I believe. And, of course, they have received no general fund, so they're not subject to any of the budget reductions.
And, Don, this is only operation and major maintenance, engineering, technical. That's all it is, just like it says.
Mr. Chairman, Section 32 is very similar to the Pipeline Authority. The Wyoming Infrastructure Authority has no authorized employees. They work or operate much like the Business Council. They did participate in the 8% reductions, and that's the explanation for their lower funding. Section 37 is the State Engineer's Office, and they had a variety of budget reductions related to the 8% as well as ETS movements and a reduction of 4 full-time employees.
Yeah, they reduced 4 full-time FTEs, not ETS.
Mr. Chairman, I believe some of two FTE through the budget reduction and 2 FTE through the transfer.
2, okay.
Section 39, the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund. You'll see on line 19 and 20, that's their 8% budget reduction. You did not add anything to the Wildlife Trust projects or the Wildlife Trust Fund, but you did add footnote number 3, which came at the request of the State Auditor's Office, almost identical to the FINERPA issue, where they're requesting a specific direction to deposit general funds into a account. The next issue is page 35, Agency 40, Game and Fish Commission. And you can see budget reductions related to the 8% budget reduction, no reduction in FTE. And recall, this is only the generally funded portion for those 5 major projects, sage-grouse, brucellosis, and the like. Section 41 is the fire prevention and electrical safety. Budget reductions in the funding, as well as ETS transfers, a net reduction of 2 employees. Geologic survey also received budget reductions and ETS reductions. Once again, I believe that is a 2 and 2. Two ETS personnel and 2 actual budget reduction personnel. Section 44 is the insurance department. You can see on line 19 the addition of $100,000 for that study related to the health insurance exchanges and associated administrative and regulatory burdens. That is also outlined in footnote number 1 on the top of page 38.
Senator Meyer.
I did talk to the commissioner, and he was, I think, going to try to get some employees that would possibly be or positions that would be special revenue up from insurance assessments. And we may have to look on page 91 as far as that position freeze and how that would work in there and discuss whether the committee wants to allow special revenue funds rather than money being tracked with the positions if they're moved. We allow for critical positions to be moved. But in that case, the funds are supposed to go with them. If they're general funds, then we're spending general funds where insurance assessment dollars could offset that. So that's something when we get to, I think, page 91, we need to discuss in relation to this footnote.
Uh, Mr. Chairman, before we leave that agency, I draw your attention to line 22 on page 37. All of their 8% budget reductions or 4% budget reductions were taken out of the high-risk health insurance pool. The next agency is Agency 45, Department of Transportation, on page 38. You can see a variety of items occurring here, including a straight reduction in the WildLink funding, as well as a reduction for airport improvements, and 8% budget reduction, or 4% budget reduction, I guess, largely taken out of the general fund appropriation to the commission. On page 40, you'll recall that Agency 48, that's the Department of Health, has been split into two agencies. Agency 048A is only their fiscal year 13 appropriation. The only change to that was a reduction of $1.5 million and the striking of footnote number 14 on the Department of Health. That is the adult DD waiver for which the JAC provided $1.5 million last year, but for only 1 year. That's the only change in 048A. 048B, there's a number of changes, including budget reductions, realignment, ETS transfers, JAC budget reductions, including the reduction of funding for preschools, as well as an associated footnote requested by Representative Stubson, I believe, as well as additional funding, for example, in aging on page 42, line 5. There was additional appropriation to the aging division. And in public health, on page 41, line 20, there's an additional $50,000 for the medical homes as a result of Governor's Letter Number 1. There are numerous changes to the Department of Health's footnotes. On page 44, in footnote number 7, that is Senator Schiffer's amendment, as modified by staff and as revised by the committee. Footnote number 8 strikes archaic language related to the partnership to resolve mental health issues. That partnership no longer exists, so the requirements were modified to include conditions identified in the CRISS stipulated settlement agreement. On page 45, footnote number 10 allows for a carryover, but also requires the Department of Health to report back to this committee, or the interim committee, rather, any amounts that it was able to transfer over from fiscal year 13, 048A, to fiscal year 14, agency 048B. On the top of page 46, the additional $50,000 in footnote number 12 is due to medical homes as a result of Governor's Letter number 1. Again, on page 46, footnote 14 is struck. That, again, is the one-time funding for adult DD waiver. Footnote 15 is new, and this is to specify the woodwork effect, approximately $14 million of new money split between general funds and federal funds.
And, Don, that's on page 41, line 17, correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay, continue.
On page 46, new footnote number 16 provides for, to the extent insufficient funds are available to meet the statutory criteria for preschool enrollment funding or per student funding, that this would be distributed on a proportionate basis. And footnote number 17 on page 47 provides for an effective immediate at the governor's request in his budget for an aging initiative. Section 49, Department of Family Services, you can see a number of budget reductions consolidated in lines 10 and 15. The one footnote that was modified came as a result of additional $30,000 in federal funds authorization for the Father Factor program. You can also see the number of positions dropped fairly significantly due to their budget reductions as well as a sizable number of ETS transfers, about 40 positions. Within the Livestock Board, beginning on page 48 and going on to page 49, these are all budget reductions and ETS transfers. No FTE were adjusted, and there were no footnotes. Section 53, Department of Workforce Services, these are budget reductions. You'll recall that most of these budget reductions came at the JAC's request, about $800,000 worth. I believe the governor recommended just $40,000 of budget reductions. So this is an area of significant additional cut by the Joint Appropriations Committee. There are also ETS transfers embedded in here, including transfers of FTE. Agency 57 begins on page 51. Community College Commission, a reduction in their administration. Their program essentially cut 8% or 4% rather from most of the agency units or divisions. So 4% on their administration budget, 4% on their state aid, 8% for the fiscal year, 4% for the biennium. Of course, that's also where the community college insurance was restored line 11. The $1.5 million in funding for group health insurance recommended by the governor was restored on that line. You can also see some budget reductions on lines 13 and 18. Page 52, section 60. This is the first one where we will request a technical correction. Governor's letter number 2 requested $11.3 million be deposited in the forestry division, which JAC approved, and this budget bill shows that. However, after a review by the budget division, that was an error on behalf of the governor's office. The appropriate placement of those funds is on line 20, not line 12. They would like to move $11.2 million from line 13 and reinstate it, general funds, in line 20. We'd consider this a technical correction and can make this before the final bill is printed. If not, I suspect they will be requesting an amendment on the floor to do so.
I would consider it technical. Anybody have an objection? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, on this agency, we did add two footnotes specifying how those funds will be spent. So with your approval, we will also move the footnote number 4 from the Forestry Division to the Fire Division. And this is the one-time funding for the repayment of old or FY12 expenditures, as well as to replenish that account. And footnote number 5 is new funding, and that's on the county suppression account, 20 million dollars, which is embedded in the county suppression account, and it also directs that should those funds not be used during the 2013 fire season, they might be used at the governor's discretion for only pine bark beetle mitigation.
Senator Meyer.
I guess a little discussion on that, Don, to make sure I understand how we're doing this, is that the $11.2 million goes into fire suppression efforts after the funds from the fire suppression account is spent. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, no. The 11.2 is first.
Around?
Correct.
Okay.
I believe $8 million, roughly, of that 11.2 are expenditures that we owe from the 12 season, so they will be essentially payments. And then about $3 million, $3.2 million, is it? Would replenish the fire budget on line 20, page 52.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we, the bark beetle monies were going to come out of the fullest cup, I guess, and they are.
They are, okay. Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, that was the, if I remember the governor's letter, and it had three parts, 8.3, the 3 something, and then the... I don't know, was it 20 or... And so we did what the letter said, and now considered a technical correction. We're going to go back to where they say they now want it.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's essentially correct. With one caveat, I believe he asked He asked for another $28.8 million that you did not approve.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Co-Chair, that's a budget division error. In our advice to the governor, it should have been in the fire division, not the forestry division. That blame clearly belongs with us, not with their office. And also in response to Senator Meyer's question, if I might, it's my understanding that the $3.2 million that is a portion of that 11.2 that's being restored where those funds are traditionally budgeted in that fire division will be spent probably simultaneously with the
I guess we cut you off. Hey, just a second. Mr. Co-Chair, would you get your switch where you shut him off, turn it back
on? Okay, we'll try this one out. But essentially, my understanding is it depends on what the nature of the expense that is being paid as to whether the $3.2 million will be applied or whether the $20 million is applied. Specifically, the $20 million is used to reimburse counties for the expenses that they incur as part of the overall fire season.
Everybody got that? $8 million pays the old bills. $3.2 million goes to suppression, but this other $20 million is also there, and it goes to the counties for their bills as they occur, correct? Actually, what happens is I think that the feds take over the fires and fight them, and then they bill the counties pay, and then they come to us, right? Is that not the way that works?
Mr. Chairman, there is a federal component to that. Mr. Chairman, there is a federal component to that. But those reimbursements come sometime later in terms of eligible costs. And so to a large degree, the costs that are incurred are fronted by the state. And ultimately, there's an eligibility issue in terms of specific fires being declared to be eligible. And then there's the reimbursement process associated with federal contributions to the firefighting costs.
Okay, Don, continue.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on page 55 with Agency 63, the governor's residence, and you can see no reduction in FTE, but a reduction of 8%. Actually, this agency took a 10% fiscal year reduction. The Wyoming Tourism Board is Agency 66 on the bottom of page 55. They operate similar to the Business Council with no authorized position count. And the budget reductions there are primarily, or the reduction in appropriation is primarily related to budget reductions. Agency 67 on page 56, a reduction in the university block grant. I believe that works out to be 6.5% annual reduction on line 12. No reductions to the NCAR MOU, and this committee reduced the School of Energy Resources by about $300,000 more than the governor did. Section 70, Enhanced Oil Recovery, or EORC. You can see the budget reductions on line 2. They operate similar to the university in that there are no authorized employees, so there are no reductions to those line items. Section 77.
That's not correct on the EORI. I think there were some reductions.
Mr. Chairman, there are definitely reductions in dollars, and I believe that their proposal included reduction of staff. The issue here is they work like the Pipeline Authority or the Business right. Council, where we don't authorize a maximum number. But I believe their program did call for a reduction in
well,
staff.
Well, as I recall, the governor, they had the reductions. The governor put a ball back in, and we took part of it out and left part of it in.
Mr. Chairman, that's my recollection right. as well. Mr. Chairman, on page 57, agency 77, this is all new language. This is a new agency that was not in the 2012 budget. This is the ETS, and I do have a request for a technical correction here. This includes all of the funds that were moved over from the CIO's office, as well as a conglomeration of all of the position transfers that we're sweeping up in each discussion of every agency, as well as their internal service funds, which appear on the third column there under other funds. The issue we have here is on line 27, full-time employees. The way the budget office accounts for this, they add the employees once they are included in another bill or a Section 300. And last year, this body approved a Section 300 for statewide longitudinal data systems of K-12 and 3FTE for this agency. Unfortunately, we put in 283. That number should be 280. Otherwise, the Section 300 and this give them three additional employees that do not need to be included in this agency. So we would ask that we be allowed to reduce that to 280, which is the correct number. Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Without objection. Mr. Chairman, on page 58, the Department of Corrections, a number of budget reductions. Recall that these were primarily related to two items, a reduction of overtime and a reduction of their medical contract costs. The legislature also provided for a transfer in line 4 of page 59, transfer of the substance abuse and cognitive skills treatment for the parolees from the medium security facility to the honor farm. And, Mr. Chairman, this is our last request for a technical correction on lines 16 and 17 of page 59. We put in $450,671. That was the amount that this committee reduced that appropriation by. It should read $420,000. That's the amount that you left in there. The table above is correct, so the amount on line 5, page 59, is accurate, but the footnote is inaccurate, and we would ask that we could correct that as a technical correction. Without objection, we'll consider doing that. In anticipation of that, your cheat sheet has all of those three technical corrections fixed, hoping that you would not have a problem with them. At the bottom of page 59 is the Board of Parole. They have budget reductions of about $4,000. Then the Business Council begins on page 60, lines 10. You can see budget reductions primarily occurring or most evident on line 19 and 20 under the Community Facilities Program. This is an area where the JAC reduced the budget more than the governor's recommendation. And you also added footnote number 2, which appears on page 62, which requires the Business Council to report back to this committee and the Joint Minerals Committee related to the need for that community facilities block grant program ongoing and an expectation of the funding over the next 5 years. The Supreme Court begins on page 62, line 14. You can see budget reductions throughout their agencies, and I would draw your attention to the Circuit Court line. we added footnote number 1 to line 22. The text of that is on page 63, and that is to prohibit the closure of the satellite courts and rather eliminate one position that will be vacated as a result of the workload study. And you can see the reduced full-time employee is taken out of page 63, line 6.
And, Don, that other position is a vacant position, correct?
Mr. Chairman, they will be after the reorganization. It is not now. One second, Mr. Mr. Chairman, your question prompted a thought on my part, and I believe it would be appropriate on page 63, within the text of that footnote, to make that footnote effective July 1 of 2013. The budget reductions don't take effect until fiscal 14 for this agency, and that would also ensure that the position can play out throughout the spring as anticipated. It has no effect on the total amount of dollars one way or the other, but I know that they are continuing to do that workload study. So if we made that footnote effective July 1, 2013, I think that would provide assurance that that position would be vacant at that time.
Absent any objections by the committee? Seeing none, let's just call that technical and do it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agency 103 is a Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics. You will recall that the JAC restored about $9,000 of their $15,000 budget reduction and left in about $5,000. Sure. Agency...
Walk through one of them, and then we can just go with the rest of them.
Agencies 120 through 142 on page 75 are about 11 pages worth of budget reductions. They're all taken out of one line with one or two exceptions. They're the equivalent of a 4% budget reduction in their plan. And... no reduction in FTE throughout those agencies. However, on page 75, I would draw your attention to Agency 142. That is a new judicial district. They had a supplemental budget request of $60,000. That is not their entire budget. So when you look at other agency budgets, you'll see about $1 million or $900,000 for a judicial district. This agency was appropriated its budget in a separate bill. So we can't bring it in here, otherwise we'd be double funding them. So this $60,968 is just the exception request to impose the statutory raises for judges. Sections 151 and 157 are both the two district attorneys. They had budget reductions, again, of 4%. Section 157 had a reduction of one full-time staff member, you'll recall. Section 160 also has a Section 300 related to it. This is the reduction of the pool of funds available to reimburse county for their prosecuting attorneys and assistant prosecuting attorneys. And the last section of this bill addresses a proportional distribution of those funds to the extent there are insufficient funds available.
I thought we put $175,000 back in the county prosecuting attorneys. I thought we did that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that is correct. But that occurs in the AG's office.
Oh, okay.
On page 77, section 167, the medical education, the only change to this is an elimination of the advanced practice psychiatric nurse program. No changes otherwise. Education Reform and School Finance had two changes to their budget that appear on page 78, and no changes to their footnote. They did have a reduction of one staff member. Next on page 80 is the Board of Equalization. They had a 4% biennial or 8% budget reduction, inclusive of one reduced FTE. Agency 220, the EQC, or Environmental Quality Council, also had budget reductions. I draw your attention at this point to the Wyoming Euthanasia Certification Board. You can see the budget correction there, as well as the additional footnote. But what you won't see in this section is those roughly 15 agencies that are state boards that their only change was a movement of funds from their 300 series to their 400 series for ETS purposes. The next section of the bill is Section 3 and identifies three new capital construction activities in A&I, those being the $2.7 million utilities project at Camp Guernsey on Line 9, the Vet Center Cemetery with $840,000 of federal funds on Line 10, and the acquisition of a leased facility in Laramie for the Snowy Range Academy on Line 2 with an associated footnote on the following page, 84. This also includes the approval of the State Building Commission as requested by this committee. Next, you move into Section 57, which is just an authorization, not an appropriation, of five local projects for the community colleges, in primarily Sheridan Gillette, as well as the Eastern Wyoming College District. Section 67 is the biggest piece of the budget by far. It's an addition of $55 million to the engineering building. And on the top of page 56, the $5 million for the arena auditorium renovation. I would bring your attention to the top of page 56 or 86. Within the footnote, we made it clear that only the original $14.2 million for engineering needed to be matched, not the additional $55 million. Mr. Chairman, that completes sections 1, 2, and 3, and I'm now on page 88 for the section 300s, unless there are any questions. Section 300, paragraph E, is the $80.8 million set aside, the creation of the SIPA account, and the unprofiled capital gains, or investment earnings of any kind, rather, that exceed the Craig estimate. And paragraph or subsection F provides the governor the authority to make requests from this fund as he deems necessary, as long as they are one-time projects. Paragraph G is the cap of $450 million of the PLF, or Permanent Land Fund, holding account, and anything that exceeds that cap at the end of the biennium shall be transferred to the permanent fund. Section 301 on page 89 is simply an additional $250,000 for the public library endowment. That's the only change there. Sections 307 on page 89 and 90 is merely a correction to put the appropriate numbers in last year's budget that the governor vetoed. Page 90, section 311, our personal services. This gives flexibility to the department.
Let's just go back on that again, just to be sure we're clear on the correction for appropriation where he vetoed. A little more depth on that.
Sure. You can see that all of this language was stricken by the governor last year because the budget was developed using old premium data. So it used premium amounts from the FY 11-12 biennium, not the 13-14 biennium. And so the governor struck all that language, so there would be no limits on it. And I think the legislature would concur, didn't have to vote, but would concur with that, which allowed the payments to continue as necessary. This language is really not absolutely necessary, but it does put in the appropriate caps on the premiums that the group health insurance can impose for various levels of individuals.
And we use the latest data to come up with these numbers, so we won't have the same problem again, correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And in fact, it's a bit retroactive because you will see for the period beginning December 1, 2012, so we're already charging premiums at or below these levels.
And where'd you get these numbers from?
Mr. Chairman, I received these from Ralph Hayes at the Group Health Insurance, and I believe that the Budget Office has also reviewed them.
Okay.
Where was that data?
Sure, on page 89, line 22.
Continue.
Section 311 expands the flexibility for the Department of Enterprise Technology. In other words, it is treated like the Department of Health, which allows any of their vacancy savings in their 100 series to be able to be moved down to equipment or contracts. Other agencies cannot move vacancy savings down to other series in their budget. You've allowed the Department of Health in the past, and this year you've allowed the Department of Enterprise Technology Services being their first startup here, but you have required them to report on a quarterly basis. Section 312, I believe, is the section that Senator Meyer was discussing relative to the position freeze of the governor.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Yeah. Don, I'm looking at this, and I'm wondering whether or not, after reading the whole thing, it doesn't appear that we have a freeze on any positions where we're not using general funds. Is that your general thought on that? Where we're at is that, as I said, the Department of Insurance to do that footnote is thinking that they were going to need three positions now. I don't know whether we didn't give them to them, but the governor may, and those positions could be funded with insurance assessments rather than general fund. And so I just didn't want to get ourselves locked into a position where if the governor used federal funds or insurance assessments to provide positions that we were going to have to fund them with general funds when other sources were available. And so that was my concern, and I'm just wondering whether the language does that or whether we need any modifications.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, I believe you're correct. They could be 11 federally funded positions at DEQ or Department of Workforce Services into this budget. I do think that if there were a vacancy, let's say one of those people in the insurance department was funded with other funds and that position became vacant, that requirement to determine that it would that position is of a critical necessity would still have to be
right.
Determined by the governor, but there's no prohibition in filling that.
Okay. All right. Then so I think we're good with it. We don't need any change in the language. It'll work the way it is then. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure we were covered on that.
Mr. Chairman, Section 317 is a modification, just one paragraph change in the major maintenance formula, and it specifies what this committee discussed relative to community colleges constructed since 2008, and that the square footage would occur for the 15-16 budget calculation.
And on this, Don, if we do not do this, under current law, then they will receive nothing, correct?
Mr. Chairman, the facilities that received general fund in 2008, 9, 10, and 11 would receive nothing. You're correct. The facilities in 2012, last year, would receive 100%, even though they were not funded with generally funded general funds. So there's kind of a quirk there. So that 4 years, they get nothing, even though they were generally funded, or a portion were generally funded. Then in 2012, speaking candidly, it was a good year to build a community college because you could do so with your own local resources and get 100% major maintenance. This, they would get zero major maintenance.
Wait a minute here.
I heard that two different ways.
Yeah, I did too. For the three colleges that we were talking about, we talked about this issue. I thought there was, the way it was treated, they would receive no major maintenance components, and that's why we put this in here to get under the general fund only. You just said they would have got 100%.
Mr. Chairman, for those three that were built or appropriated between 2008 and 2011, you're exactly correct. This footnote is going to give them more major maintenance. The conundrum occurs in 2012. There were five projects, and in fact, we can flip back to page 85. And you can see on page 85, as long as these facilities were academic facilities, and I'm assuming CWC Academic Space is an academic facility. I'm not sure about this wellness center. But you can see all of those facilities that were approved, they're not underlined. All of these facilities that were approved in 2012, there was no footnote on those one way or another. So they would receive 100% major maintenance. And under this footnote, they would only receive the proportion of general funds. So if you take Western, for example, they would receive 100%. CWC Academic Space would receive about 66%, because 66% of the facility, and I'm not sure that math is exactly right, but it's close, would receive 66% of their major maintenance payment. The NWC Yellowstone Center would receive about 66%.
Well, I don't think the change would be a technical correction at this point. But that's not...
So...
Go ahead, Mr. Co-Chair.
Well, just so I understand that. So is the way this is written, it'll treat everybody the same. They'll get major maintenance to the extent of their general fund?
Four buildings.
Except for the 2012 buildings?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harshman, it would treat everyone the same after 2008. So for example, the four projects that you have this year, all of those projects, so the EWC Ag Complex, under the old rule, they would have received 100% major maintenance because they're an academic facility. The current formula doesn't care whether or not it was funded with general funds or local funds. Under the new formula, they would get zero major maintenance. And the reason being is they're getting zero general funds for that facility.
Other questions? Well, I thought that if we did nothing, they would... You're saying if we did nothing, then all these schools would get 100%. That was not my understanding.
Mr. Chairman, from 2012 going forward, they will get 100%. From 2008 to 2012, they get nothing.
Yeah, but so what we're doing is we're going in and we already told them one way. Now we're changing our minds on what we already told them they could do for 2012, and that's where I didn't understand. So it's it is what it is. Yeah, we'll work on that one, but I don't think we can do anything now. We'll work on that one. Okay, continue.
Mr. Chairman, Section 319 are the budget reductions, and you change this in two respects. The first of which on page 93 is you corrected the Wyoming Department of Health. You brought them down to 6%. But recall, they already experienced a 2% biennial reduction in 2013-2014. So you're actually treating them with an 8% of their 2012 standard budget. And then in paragraph B, you're eliminating the 8% reduction for any of the judicial branch going forward. Page 94. Provides additional flex. This is paragraph G at the top. Provides additional flex for cities, towns, and counties. Their funds cannot be used for salary adjustments, additional personnel, or increased personnel benefits, but they can now use it for one-time needs or for equipment or other purchases of a limited duration. And they can also use it for recurring expenses other than salaries and personnel. Paragraph H is the additional $20 million for cities, towns, and counties through the direct distribution formula. And paragraph 2i essentially doubles the base. That's the impact of providing an additional $5,000 for small communities and $10,000 for other communities. Section 329 on pages 94 and 95 is the $16 million sweep of excess group health insurance employer share, and that moves that into the state auditor's office, and it cannot be used without further action by the legislature. Section 330 on page 95 is the compensation. The first subsection A provides a permanent $600,000 market-based increase for the judicial branch. Subsection B provides a retention payment for executive branch employees, judicial branch employees, legislative employees, school district employees, UW employees, community college employees in the following paragraphs. Of this, $5.8 million is used from general fund appropriation from 2011, and a total of $915,000 of general funds is used. So all of this is done with $915,000 of new general funds.
Senator Meyer.
So, Don, the only thing that can be biannualized is the part that we're going over to the Supreme Court permanent compensation. Is that the only part that's biannualized? Everything else is one-time funding.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's correct.
Okay.
And you can see the K-12 funding is in subsection D. And then there are some definitions in subsection E with respect to a qualifying employee. And subsection F limits the funds shall only be used or shall not be considered cash remuneration for retirement plan purposes. I believe that was a concern of Representative Burkhart. And it also makes it clear that it is funding outside of the education resource block grant model. And subsection G provides for a reversion just to make sure the no confusion on any unexpended funds. Section 331 provides the repayment.
Just hold a second on this, on the salaries for the teachers. It's outside the foundation program?
Mr. Chairman, yes. It's one time and outside the model. Section 331 on page 99 is the payoff of the loan for the Jamestown Rio Vista Special District, and also directs the SLIB board to discharge that loan. Section 332 provides for provision of D-sheets or position detail information in the 15-16 biennial budget for any new requested position to be transferred, or any eliminated position, and that allows a much more finer detail of tracking and could also have helped in areas like the Wyoming Department of Education position movements. Section 333 requires uniformity of the district court expenditures and budgeting for the 15-16 biennium. Section 334 is the monitoring of federal rulemaking by the Department of Health and the Insurance Commission, and to notify the appropriate committees of any substantial action or rule. Section 335 and 336 have been modified since you've last reviewed those. We pulled in those distribution formulas for the county and prosecuting attorneys and the tax refund for elderly and disabled by reference, so we don't go through the calculation of those formulas. We just refer to the appropriate statute. And finally, Section 400 is the effective date.
Do we have Representative Nicholas, did you kick in a bill for those two that's in the hopper? Okay. What's the status of that? Is it working through the system along with all those other wonderful House bills? Okay. Okay, members of the committee, any questions? Representative Wallace.
Mr. Chairman, having just attended the bill signing downstairs, I'm not familiar enough with what the Department of Education bill had. Do we actually need, I'm sure at some point, we need to actually split Agency 5 into a superintendent's budget and a department's budget? At what point do we address that problem?
Great question, Representative Wallace, and there's obviously a couple of ways we can go, and we'll see what the committee wants to do. I think the bill gives the latitude to the governor to pretty much make all those changes themselves and do what he wants to do. However, I think we ought to go into the budget bill and come up with some budget footnotes as to how that's directed and what happens. So I don't think we're prepared today. We weren't even sure about the status of the bill. But it now is the law, so I think we have that to deal with. And what I'd like to do is probably, and I haven't even talked to the co-chair about how you want to do that, but I think what I was thinking about is, you know, Monday and Tuesday we present the bill, and then we do second reading Wednesday and Thursday's off, and sometime maybe Wednesday or Thursday, depending on how things go, we could come up with some draft language to see what we may want to do and how we want to do this. Mr. Co-Chair, do you have any ideas?
No, I think your plan is good, and I think it'll give us time to kind of really how we're going to develop a separate agency probably and how it's all going to work, but it'll give us time to work on. I know there's some work ideas anyway, and it'll come together, I think, in the coming days.
Yeah, the only thing I would add the committee to think about is we have the transition and how do we accomplish the transition. And obviously the governor has a right to make the interim appointment, so we're going to have that to deal with. And then when the state board comes with three nominees for the new director, that'll be long after we're gone. So we've got to give that some careful consideration. And the bill spells out a lot of things and duties. But what you don't see, and I've worked with Don on this and the co-chair, is when you look at all the different budgets, they don't really track necessarily with what the bill says in terms of responsibilities. So there's a disconnect there. You've got a lot of federal funds. You know, when you look at that budget, there's like $230 million federal funds, I think $10 million state funds, and $7 million special revenue funds. So we've got to get into that and see what the law says, although the governor could really, we could leave and do nothing, but I think we have a responsibility to look at how we put that in the budget and at least have some discussions and some potential footnote to see how we do it. And I think, Don, we're going to think about doing it like we did the ETS is kind of my thinking when we set that up. So any other questions or comments on that? Just a little simple thing to do that I'm kidding, of course. Okay, any other questions of the committee on the budget bill or anything else that we have in front of us?
I just wonder if we got,
Representative Nicholas.
Chairman, based upon what you just said, does the LSO, Dave, you got any thoughts on the protocol or how to put that together?
Dave.
Mr. Chairman, Senate File 104 is written the same way we did the ETS, and it gives the governor complete broad authority to divvy it out. If you want to have further direction, you can do it in the budget bill. And we're going to have to be careful that we're consistent with Senate File 104. Again, the budget bill's appropriations. So,
notwithstanding, anybody else have any? Representative Esquivel, you didn't have your flag out, and I saw your hand.
Yeah, I got that there still. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we have capital construction in one of our agencies, are we presenting it at the time of the agency, or are we doing those all at once? Or?
All at once, I would think. And does everybody have their agencies? You still got that list and are aware of? You know, and at least in the Senate, don't shake your head, Senator Hastert. At least in the Senate, you know, I'm going to get up and do mine, and I'm going to defer to you and be prepared to not only present the budget, but to answer the questions and debate the amendments that come to those budgets, and we'll help you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Don, because we did quite a little bit of switching on the AMLs and everything in the new engineering school, could you kind of get a one page that like we had before on engineering and put that together so we can pass that out and so people know how that whole process works with our bill and the budget, and it's in one spot, and how many tens or hundreds of millions we're putting into that thing. I think are we up to 105 or 115 now with the extra 60 or wherever we're at. Yeah,
Don, put that together and show the AML funds and the swaps and where we did to the Water Development Commission for the Gillette Madison, and then we put it in our general fund for the university and all that. That'd be good to have.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering, as we come up and as we make our presentations, could we have a certain number of lifelines, phone a friend or, ask the group?
Well, what we're going to do is in the House, I think Dave and Don are going to be there for the presentation, correct? And then we're going to have to go through that. Don, tell us who you got where.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So Alex and I will be over in the House, and, of course, with a normal complement of House attorneys. I believe that we're going to be stationed at the front press table, and unless otherwise directed, we can be in the hallway or in the House attorney's office at your direction. And Don Agar and Dean Tempty will be over in the Senate side. And usually, again, they remain either in the House attorney's office. They assist in members writing amendments, because even during the explanation, people get ideas. And at least one of them will be in the hallway, perhaps, near your desk or in that area to assist members in responding to questions and presenting the budgets.
Any other questions on procedure? Now, what we're going to do is, as I understand from both the House and the Senate majority floor leaders, have agreed that we'll start the discussion of the budget bill on Monday. That'd be the Monday coming up. And we'll discuss it for 2 days. And then on Wednesday, we'll do second reading amendments. And then on Thursday, you've got till 5 p.m. to have your third reading amendments ready. And then Friday, we do third reading. Is that correct? Dave, is that correct? Everybody understand that? And then when we leave here Friday afternoon, in theory, we'll have voted for the budget bill as amended. And then we'll start working. We'll put together the information, and then the Senate will roll over to whatever the House wants, and we'll move on from there. That's the way it usually works. So, well, maybe not quite. Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Brett, you got anything to add?
Call the roll on the bill?
Yeah, well, I'm going to get to that. I want to thank the governor's office for all their hard work on this. It's not been an easy process, but thank you, Brett, for what you've done. And Bill's not here, but be sure and pass that on to Bill, too. And all staff, once again, thank all of you. And Dave, thanks for keeping us in legally in what we're doing and everything, and making sure we're paying attention to all that stuff. So thank all of the staff, once again, for an outstanding job. I think we owe them another round of applause, committee. Do I have a motion on the bill?
So moved.
It's moved by co-chair and seconded by Senator Meyer. Do we have a number? Is it a number?
Mr. Chairman, it will be House Bill 1. It will be a House bill this year, and it will appear as a mirror bill as Senate File 1. But when it is presented to the governor, it'll be a House bill this year.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to adopt House Bill number 1. It's been moved and seconded. Please call the roll.
Senator Dockstetter?
Aye.
Senator Hastert?
Aye.
Senator Meyer?
Aye.
Senator Perkins?
Aye.
Representative Burkhart?
Aye.
Representative Escobel?
Aye.
Representative Moniz?
Aye.
Representative Nicholas?
Aye.
Representative Stebson?
Aye.
Representative Wallace?
Aye.
Co-Chairman Harshman?
Aye.
Chairman Bebop?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman,
anything else, Don, Dave, anybody else? We're adjourned.